As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more 5-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain. This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today.
Hey, Michael, question for you.
Okay, shoot.
As a product person, have you ever used Yuzu personas?
Yeah, no, I have to like mixed results, right? So we usually make up a fictional person that's like a combination of the different customers that we've talked to make up this master persona.
So fictional, but they have usually like name, age, that sort of thing, right?
Yeah, they're just not like actual people. They're made up so the company could have like a vision of who we're actually building the product for. Putting a name to a face, kind of, it helps the company empathize with the customer better. At least that's the idea.
Okay, I gotcha. Well, what if I told you that I had a way to bring those personas to life, to find a persona and somehow magically be able to talk to that person, ask them questions, dig in with them, and just really learn more about them?
Well, yeah, that would be a product person's dream. But wait, you can't actually do that, right?
Oh, but Michael, I already have. And in this episode of Rocket Ship, you're going to hear from them yourself. Real life user personas.
Oh, man, this should be good.
Welcome to Rocketship.fm. In season 4 of Rocketship, we are diving into everything product and growth.
Rocketship FM is produced in partnership with Product Collective.
We're your hosts, Michael Sacca
and Mike Belsito.
Okay, so let's start from the beginning. We should probably first dig in a little more to what a user persona actually is.
Yes, and I'll start with a definition from Marty Kagan, who's amazing product person. So many people look up to him. He wrote a book called Inspired, but he's also the founder of the Silicon Valley Product Group. And as Marty puts it, the persona is an archetype description of an imaginary but very plausible user that personifies these traits, especially their behaviors, attitudes, goals. Marty mentions on a blog post that he wrote titled Personas for Product Management that the term first sprouted up back in 1998 in a book by Alan Cooper called The Inmates Are Running the Asylum. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Yeah, no, I've heard that's a really good read. But user personas, right? They've been around before product people started using them, right?
So 30 years ago, if you walked into an ad agency, you might see posters of personas hanging on the wall that have names, pictures, all of that. I mean, marketers have been using personas for a long time. Same with designers, other people. It's definitely not something that product people came up with.
So you create this fictional persona, right? And instead of just creating a product for a generic bucket of customers, personas make things personal.
Yes. And if you're doing it right, that persona could be so detailed that you can actually picture that person. Like in your mind, they're real. Like you want to help this person that has real problems.
But you said that you can bring these personas to life.
I said that I already brought them to life. Two of them, in fact.
Okay. But what do you really mean by that?
Okay. Well, you remember like a while back when we started talking about like, hey, let's do this episode about personas. You sent me this blog post. It was by Sasha Kudler from L&T, which is a content company that helps other companies with their corporate blog. So this post, it was from L&T's corporate blog.
It's pretty meta.
That actually is. Anyway, though, the post, it was titled 10 examples of detailed content marketing personas. So not specifically a product persona, but it's the same concept. And the post laid out 10 real life examples that companies actually use where it's the personas that they have for these different use cases.
Ah, okay. I'm following you. So they're real personas, but they're not real people.
True. But what I did was I took a couple of those and I found the exact type of person that the persona was describing, and I met with that person to learn more about them.
So you really did turn these personas into real life people.
I actually did. And you know what? Towards the end of the conversations that I had, I even showed the persona to that person to see what they thought. I wanted to know, did the persona actually resonate with them? Like, did they feel like the persona was speaking about them?
That's really cool. So it's, did they?
Well, I'll show you. The first person I met up with, her name was Ann Hartnett, who's the founder of Harness Cycle, which is this awesome cycling gym here in Cleveland. And I thought that she fit pretty well with the Jane persona that was in the blog post. Now, Jane is a 34-year-old gym owner. She wears a lot of hats. She's the de facto marketing manager and head of sales, but she mostly markets and serves stay-at-home moms. So in that persona, it says that Jane markets her business by using things like Google AdWords and blogging on her website, running offline campaigns, and she wants to be personally connected with customers, but her biggest fear is coming on too strong with those members and not really making an impact with her business.
So when you met with Anne, was she actually a lot like Jane?
Well, I'll let you be the judge. Michael, meet Anne Hartnett.
My name is Anne Hartnett. I'm 34 years old. I'm the owner of Harness Cycle. At this point, I manage a team of 4 full-time employees that then oversee a full staff of around 25 employees. I spend most of my time on programming, planning, a lot of accounting, finances, marketing. I do community engagement initiatives and just kind of forecasting for our future.
Anne is 34. Wasn't Jane 34?
Yes. And like Jane, Anne also wears a lot of hats. I asked Anne, though, if her members were just like the ones that were also described in the Jane persona.
Our members, we refer to them as riders, are hyper-local. So we're looking at people that live in as small proximity as like a 1.5-mile radius. We, of course, attract people from elsewhere in our destination, but that's really our base that fills our classes. That base is primarily a female, age 31 to 37. The most frequent riders are working professionals and single.
Okay, so her customers, the riders, they're a little different than what was described in the persona.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Anne's customers, they're more urban working professionals, whereas it sounds like the persona that was described for Jane, it was serving more, say, suburban soccer moms. And I asked Anne to dig in a little bit more, though, to just show us how she finds her customers. I was curious if that part was similar to what Jane went through in the persona.
Our number one form of attracting customers is word of mouth. So when someone loves Harness Cycle, they're going out to dinner with a group of five girlfriends and they're like, I just had this awesome class, or, you know, friends know that that's their routine and then they bring them along and then it's a very communal experience. It's social, it's fun, loud music. And so then friends become friends here and they make more friends and it becomes a social experience. So that's really our primary focus, is just making sure people absolutely are in love with what they're getting when they come here with their experience, so that they talk about it. And we focus most of our energy on making sure people really are having a positive experience, from our website to social media to the phone calls they get to make sure they know where to park, follow-ups after their first class, and making sure people are really engaged and feeling supported from step one. Aside from that, we really don't spend many marketing dollars aside from experiential marketing. So a couple times a year, we'll partner with different groups to do large scale events and make sure that those just are unique and really fun and really wow people, and it's unexpected. So then again, it becomes something that's notable and they want to talk about, and it just kind of creates this idea that we are focused on the experience more than anything else.
So it's pretty interesting. It sounds like Anne is relying more on word of mouth as opposed to these active marketing campaigns, but she's making sure that the experience of her gym is what's actually selling the gym.
I think that's right. And, you know, it's not a complete mess, but I thought that that was interesting. And remember, in the persona, it talked about some of Jane's fears, coming on too strong with members, not making an impact. I wanted to know what Anne's fears were. So I asked Anne, what keeps her up at night?
What keeps me up at night is just the fact that we are communicating our why enough that it stays relevant.
Yeah.
Because I think that experience and community development is always relevant. And so making sure that that stays in the forefront and every single member of our team is aligned with that mission.
Okay, so what everyone's waiting for, what did Anne think of the persona?
Well, at this point, I showed it to her. And, well, we can listen in.
The age, gender, role, yeah, I'd say gym owner, marketing manager, head of sales. That's definitely all me. Our target market, business to consumer, memberships, mostly stay-at-home moms and newbie gym owners. We're certainly a business to consumer, but I would say that's probably not our audience for memberships.
Yeah.
Marketing solutions, offline campaigns, Google AdWords, blogging on website. At this point, I mean, you know, content strategy, but we're pretty driven by social media right now. But that's definitely an area we would want to focus on. So I could see that being connected with us, even though we're not executing that right now. Internal drivers, wants to connect with customers on a personal basis, values respect, relationships in a safe atmosphere, fears losing members, coming on too strong in her relationships and not making an impact with her business. Yeah, absolutely. Those are all motivators
for
me.
So that had to be a little weird, right? Looking at this document that a company put together that basically is trying to describe you.
Yeah. And if you think about it, though, what better person than Anne to give feedback on this very persona? Like, this persona was pretty basic. If the company wanted to make it better, Anne would be the exact person to talk to, right?
You're totally right. And did you ask her about that?
I did. Yeah, I asked Anne what she thought, you know, if she was going to give feedback to this company to make it a better persona, like, what would that feedback even be?
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors. Now, back to the show.
I think that as a small business owner, a working mom, that's super relevant to everything I do on a daily basis. It dictates when I work, how I work, and, you know, also dictates where I spend my time and what has to just wait. So I think diving a little bit deeper into, like, personal background is always relevant. I see a difference between people like myself in this industry that own and operate in an urban setting versus a suburban setting. There's definitely different clientele. We have different hurdles in our businesses, different things that you don't experience in the suburbs that you experience right in the city, and vice versa. Everything from diversity to parking to times and hours of operation. the type of employee you attract. And then I guess that would be my third area, is number of employees. My day looked a lot different when I managed no one but myself and instructors versus now I have a team of 3 full-time employees. Things have shifted quite a bit.
Okay, I have to admit, that was pretty interesting. I've definitely created personas before and I've used them in building product, but I never really thought about what it might be like to have a conversation with the exact person that I've created.
I mean, yeah, look, we're talking to our customers all the time, so we all sort of do it, but doing it in this context, it just makes things different. It just makes you think a little bit more.
So you did this again with another persona.
I did. I brought one more user persona to life, and this time it was Enterprise Aaron, somebody that HubSpot actually targets.
Okay, Enterprise Aaron. So who is Enterprise Aaron?
Well, according to HubSpot, Enterprise Aaron is the director or VP of marketing at a larger company. So somebody with 200 to 2,000 employees. She leads a marketing team of 15, has a bachelor's degree, and according to the persona, she's recently married.
Ah, well, congrats to Enterprise Aaron.
Yes, cheers indeed. Anyway, her goals are around demand and pipeline generation and campaign execution and coordination. Her challenges are working with sales, data and technology overload, and selling use cases to IT, legal, and the executive team.
Okay, so I take it you brought Enterprise Aaron to life.
I sure did, in the form of...
Marty Bowman, Chief Marketing Officer here at OnShift. We are a high-growth software company based right here in downtown Cleveland. We serve the post-acute healthcare market, so we sell software primarily to skilled nursing facilities, senior living communities, continuing care, retirement communities, and so forth.
Nice. And is Marty's team similar to what Enterprise Aaron's is, 15 or so?
Well, close enough.
There are 9 of us in total on the marketing organization here at OnShift. We're a high growth organization, so I like to believe that marketing is kind of out in front, sort of leading the charge and paving the way for our sales organization so we can achieve, you know, our revenue objectives overall. With the 9 folks on the team, we have right now sort of 3 core pillars to our marketing organization. One is product marketing, then we have customer marketing. So being in a SaaS business, we have to earn our customers' business every month, right? Satisfaction, retention is absolutely critical in our organization. So we've got a pretty significant customer success organization. And then our third pillar is marketing ops and demand generation.
Demand generation, that's literally a term from the persona, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So I guess HubSpot got the goals right with this one. We'll see if they nailed the challenges part 2. I asked Marty what keeps her up at night.
Probably the big thing is maintaining the fast pace that we need to in order to drive that growth. And I think that's probably a common challenge for anybody that's involved in a fast-paced, high-growth organization. What's really important to do is to be able to keep your foot on the pedal and go as fast as you can, but also have the right processes and frameworks and systems in place in order to drive efficiencies and scale. So you kind of have to do both at the same time. So you are not only driving that growth, but you're able to accommodate it in a meaningful way and making the best use of your resources, your people, and your investments overall.
Okay, so that part was a little bit different.
Yes, although she did share a little bit more about another challenge that she's faced with.
Content, right? Content is such an important part of our overall go-to-market strategy. There's a lot of great content out there. How do you maintain that consistent flow of content that remains compelling and more interesting than others that are out there in the market? So it's really cutting through the noise and maintaining that continuous stream so you're reaching your prospects and your buyers with the right content at the right time and doing it better than anybody else.
Ah, content. Well, I bet that's music to HubSpot's ears.
Well, their ears were probably ringing because I asked Marty about what technologies they use to overcome the content challenge. And
we have a variety of different systems that plug into our overall marketing tech stack. We're a HubSpot organization.
No way. Wait, they actually use HubSpot. So this persona, it's getting even more real here.
Well, that's what I was thinking too. And I thought it was a good time now to show Marty the persona. Here she is reading it and thinking out loud.
So Enterprise Aaron, she's a director of marketing ops, VP of marketing, product marketing, company 2 to 2,000 employees, marketing team of 15 plus. BS, MBA, 30, married recently. That's funny.
I guess that part didn't describe Marty. Anyway, I asked Marty at the end how well this matched her. Was it 0%? Was it 100%? Here's what she had to say.
Probably at least 50%, maybe a little bit more than that. Yeah. You know, they nailed the goals. So, you know, we'll weight this a little bit differently. And we'll say, you know, definitely demand generation, pipeline generation. You know, we have goals around that, certainly. Yeah. And then campaign execution and coordination, for sure. Those are definitely top priorities for us. And some of the other characteristics are in line.
Okay, so better than a 50% match. Not too bad. It seems like it matched a lot of the important characteristics anyway.
I think so. But same as Anne from before. I asked Marty if she was going to give advice to HubSpot on making this persona even better, even more real. What would that feedback be? Like, how could they bring this to maybe closer to a 100% match?
My recommendation would be to make it more in depth, for sure. I mean, this is really just tip of the iceberg. I mean, there's no way that you can say that every head of marketing is a 30-year-old female who is recently married.
Right.
I mean, that's, I think, sort of the challenge with personas overall. But, you know, it is, I always think with personas too, even in a B2B environment, it's kind of fun to work in some personal aspects as well, because that gives you as a marketer an opportunity to get a better understanding of who the people are that you're either selling to or working with from a user perspective on your products.
Again, I think some good recommendations from Marty.
I think so too. And, you know, I'll say this whole exercise, it's interesting taking, you know, this kind of fictitious picture of the person that you're building a product for, and then actually going out and talking to them and learning about the context of which you're serving them as a persona. This has got to be really beneficial for product people to do. I'm really glad you went this route.
I am too. I thought it was pretty interesting. And, you know, I think that the companies, they can learn how to create better personas if they go out and talk to the actual people that they created these personas for. So, HubSpot, I hope that you're listening.
And if you are, tell Enterprise Erin we said congrats and that we wish her and her partner all the best.
Yes, that too.
If you want to find out more about rocketship.fm, go to rocketship.fm. It's pretty simple, right? Make sure you subscribe to this podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, so you don't miss future episodes in this series. And if you like today's episode, tell a friend.
Or two friends, or a lot of friends. We would love it if you would spread the word.
You could sign up for our newsletter. We have partnered with Product Collective, Mike Belcito's company, to bring you even more content each week. So if you sign up for the newsletter, you're going to get content from Rocketship FM. You're also going to get detailed product content from Product Collective, which is incredibly valuable. And as entrepreneurs, it's one of the most important topics for us to stay up on. So go to rocketship.fm and sign up for our newsletter. If you enjoy this content, leave us a quick review, or tell a friend, or share the link on Twitter. Anything helps to get the word out about the show. We really appreciate it. We'll be right back here in just a couple days.